The following program is a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.
Welcome to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby, the show where we focus on not only the mental issues of the community, but the solutions as well. From anxiety-relieving techniques that you can practice at home, to services available to you and your loved ones right here in your own community. Now, without further ado, Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby. All right, we're here with Eyes on Psych, the new show produced by the Recording Library of West Texas, and our guy that we're going to have on the show with us, he's a counselor here in the 432. You got two practices, right, Lewis?
That's correct.
This is Lewis Busby. He is the head counselor there. And he's basically just going to go over with us some of the things to watch out for, you know, as far as depression, being a shut-in too much, things like that. So, Lewis, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How is the new practice? You just opened one up.
We did. We expanded into the Midland area. Our new location in Midland is at 3404 West Illinois, Suite 201.
Mm-hmm.
It's going great. It's just a lot of overhead and a lot of things to look into, but it's making it.
Yeah, I heard you were having a bit of an issue getting there because, as it were, I mean, real estate here is not always easy to come by.
That is correct.
What I want to talk about first is shut-ins. People who normally tend to stay in a lot of people, when they become vision impaired, they don't go out as much and they don't get as much human contact. Now, what are some of the hazards that come with not getting enough human contact on a daily basis?
Well, relatively speaking, humans have always been social creatures. And therefore, if you shut yourself in, I mean, it's of course going to increase depression and depressive symptoms.
One of the things that Mike said the other day was, he misses flirting with people. One of the things that he misses most about it is the cues that he gets from people's eyes, you know, seeing the eye contact and things like that. So I think that one of the problems that our listeners do have being vision impaired is they have less of a drive to get out and interact with people just because there's so much of that interaction and body language that's cut off to them. Are there any ways that you could, you know, think of that maybe they could go out, socialize, and still feel a part of the community?
Well, I think our community needs more resources to help them do that, of course. It's really complicated. On those kind of issues, it would depend on the individual. But the very first thing, our community needs to build resources for that.
This is one of those things that we do. We provide this service free of charge. This is something that only people in the blind community are exclusive to. Basically, the way that our system is set up is we piggyback on another radio station signal, and we are able to offer a special receiver that picks up that signal. So rather than pick up, you know, the normal station, which was actually 106, it's La Buena, would be the normal station. And rather than pick that up, our SCA receiver allows them to pick up our feed. And we offer these radios free of charge. They're very simple radios. And I'm explaining this to him, to everybody listening, because Lewis is actually kind of brought in on this by surprise. He didn't really know what to expect at first, so we're just kind of acclimating him and trying to tell him how everything works right here on the air and not really give him much of a comfort zone.
So, that's the way we like to do it around here.
Right. Yeah, we're just going to throw you into it. I mean, like it or not.
Sounds good.
You recently came back from Ireland. How was that?
Wow.
It was fascinating, except for driving on the other side of the road. I think I almost wrecked, you know, the first 2 days. Oh, and I got a ticket, too. That was great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but do you really have to pay it?
Oh, I did. They put a boot on my car.
Almost.
Oh,
what?
Yeah. That's bad.
It was bad.
Well, it wasn't really your car. It was a rental, right?
It was.
If he wants to get anywhere, he's going to need it.
Right. They charged $1,000 for insurance right off the bat and didn't tell us that either. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know. If you ever go to Ireland, don't get a ticket and don't get the insurance.
And watch out for the roundabouts.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. They have some roundabouts over in like the Northeast Coast, and they are not. They take some getting used to.
Right. Every 10 feet.
We don't have very many of those around here at
all. No, thank God.
I just get stuck on them and go round and round and, you know, because I'm afraid to get off.
I do that when I get anywhere near an airport. I just keep going around.
Oh, DFW would be a nightmare for you.
Right?
Oh, my goodness. So how long have you been practicing?
I've been in the psych field for quite some time. I started off at Oceans Behavioral Hospital.
Okay, that's right over there between Midland and Odessa.
Correct, off 1788. Mm-hmm. It's a mental health hospital, inpatient and outpatient. I ran the outpatient with my boss at the time, Nichelle Roseberry, very lovely lady, by the way. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got a lot of my expertise from, was from her and other people in the field. Then I went to the school district in Odessa. I just recently resigned from there as a crisis counselor. I took over Permian High School and then went back to the junior highs to deal with some issues, and I enjoyed it a lot. But I've been in private practice for approximately 1 year, actually it's coming on 1.5 now, but in the field I've been in it for about 6 years.
For about 6 years. And doing what you do, especially with the kids and everything, have you dealt with support groups or anything like that, led any support groups? Do you have any experience with something like that?
Oh, yes. That's one of the major reasons why I opened one in Midland. In the Midland office, we will be able to provide groups for different types of necessities and needs. We're just looking for doctors to tell us what they need in the area.
Okay, okay.
Very cool.
What kind of counseling have you been used to in the past? Obviously with adolescents, mm-hmm. Drug addiction, anything like that?
I primarily deal with mental health, which means schizophrenia, bipolar, borderline. Those are the ones that fascinate me the most, mm-hmm. and are most intriguing. However, my degree is in clinical psychology, and my licensure as an OPC allows me to pretty much do the gambit as long as I have knowledge and experience on it. And I have tons of experience in a lot of different fields.
Well, and as somebody who is fascinated with schizophrenics and people like that, I would imagine that people with severe mental issues also have something in common with our listeners in the fact that they do tend to shut themselves off from the world. What are some side effects, do you think, from shutting yourself off? Not only does it not give you what you need socially, but I would imagine that it can make the symptoms of whatever mental issues you have worsen.
It definitely compounds upon them. The major symptoms that you notice with people with depression, of course, would be isolation, first of all, mm-hmm. Sleeping too much, irritability. I mean, there's a million different symptoms, but the ones that concern me the most would, of course, be altering your normal routines, not finding joy in the things that you normally enjoy, and things of that nature.
Right.
I think just remembering that we are social creatures is the most important thing in overcoming anything. And light. If you shut yourself in, you're not getting light, you're not eating healthy, you're not taking care of yourself.
Right.
Then you're going to have more compounding issues.
Yeah, you definitely want to get out into the sunlight no matter what. I mean, we get vitamins from the sunlight, so getting out there into it, very important no matter who you are, what age you are, anything. I mean, just the warmth of the sun, natural sunlight, can do wonders for your mental health and your mental state.
For your listeners, I just thought I would inform you of one thing. I had a really, really, one of the most impressive counselors that I ever met, or he was working on his counseling degree, was blind. And I was really inspired by him going through grad school. He was amazing. And if you're listening out there, this is Mr. Busby. You know who I am. Just hit us up sometime.
Come on the show. I mean, that would be great. One thing that I've noticed with a lot of our listeners is they really, some of them feel helpless. And they feel like they can't really contribute as much as they used to, which is why we have Mike Bates on one of our other shows. He's one of the exceptions to that rule. He gets out. He's in support groups. He used to be a engineer in the oil field. And he's been blind for about 8 years. Is that what he said? You can speak up anytime now, Sarah.
Yes, that was about right. Yeah.
No, Sarah's over here. She's shy. She forgets to talk. She does a lot of head nodding sometimes.
Yeah, I forget that y'all can't hear the nod.
No, they can't. but no, Mike is one of the more inspirational stories that we have. He went from being extremely active in the oil field and being forced into an early retirement because of his disability to just going full speed ahead and trying to help others. And that's one thing for our listeners that y'all can do is be there to support each other. Support groups are very important. There are a lot of support groups for the blind in this area. A lot of, especially veterans who become vision impaired, they tend not to go out as much because they were trained to be independent. They were trained to take care of themselves, feel like they don't need anybody, that they can be self-sustaining. And I think that one of the mistakes that our listeners do make, some of the ones who do not get out as much, one of the mistakes they make is the fact that, you know, they just really feel like they have nothing to offer. And I think getting out and doing what – getting out and talking to other people with the same affliction as them really could help them see that they really can help another human being, especially veterans. I mean, a lot of our veterans, that's why they got in the military in the first place, is to help people. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have to people who not only have gone vision impaired, but they also have PTSD, things that are associated with being a veteran?
Oh, wow, yeah. That can be really common. There's many different variables that go into PTSD. Most of the things we talk about, listeners, are going to be much more complex. So we just kind of give you – I'm going to just kind of give you the general rundown on some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then later you can call into Chris and to ask specifics that you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you have PTSD and you're blind – and that does happen. I mean, we have plenty of soldiers that come back from shrapnel and whatnot that's just devastating. What you have to do is build up hope in them, give them goals, give them support. I would say the same thing for all of you listeners out there who feel that life is helpless and hopeless. You need to find goals. You need to get active. You need to push yourself out of that bed and get up and make a fight for life. That's what life's about, is fighting. All of us suffer some things at one time or another. But for PTSD in specific, I would think that that could be extremely devastating to be blind and have PTSD. I've never met someone that has both. Well, both caused by military, of course. PTSD can be caused by whatever made them blind in the first place.
So oh, yeah.
Have to be military.
Oh, yeah. It can be caused by a great number of things.
Yes, sir. But my major concern, I guess when I was thinking about this show, my major worries were that listeners be listening to me, and they would not feel like they're part of the community, and that they might feel they're isolated and things of that nature, and that's what you were discussing with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that for anybody. I that's my job. That's why I got into this field. Come see me, or at the very least, call and ask questions. That's a lot cheaper.
Yes.
So, and I'm okay with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be here to help y'all, and I know Chris does, too.
That's the whole point of this entire radio broadcast, is just to help anybody in any way we can. I mean, we give them their news. We give them all kinds of different programs. For example, I went over some of this earlier. I mean, if you look at the programs that we have on here, Lewis, and listeners out there, this is just me getting him acclimated to what we do, because he's still kind of disoriented right now.
He's got a learning curve.
Yes.
I have the deer in the headlights going on.
Right, right. He definitely has that. Well, we do different magazines. We read magazines. We read every single day. We update the newspaper. We do a new broadcast of local newspapers every single day. We are a big source of news for them. Basically, the easiest way I can describe what we do here at the Recording Library is we're TV for blind people, pretty much. There's a lot of things visually that TV tends to leave out, so we make up for that, and this is a 24-hour broadcast. We do movies. We do movies for the blind. We read books. We do, of course, specific blind-related broadcasts like Cooking in the Dark. That's one of our most popular shows, by the way.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Mike's favorite show is Blind Handyman, and he told us this story about how he actually fixed his toilet by himself.
Based on that show?
Yeah, based on that show. They taught him how to do it, and he
didn't have to call the plumber.
He didn't have to call the plumber.
Do it yourself.
And some of these shows, I mean, Blind Handyman to me sounded insane, because I'm thinking, okay, vision impaired plus power tools equals hospital visit. But these people figure out a way around it, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, as long as you believe you can do it, and I think that, like you said earlier, setting goals is a big part of staying out of depression. I'm glad that you brought that up, because that I think that's the number one step that I've ever heard when it comes to getting out of depression, is set goals for yourself. And that's something anybody can do. And make sure they're goals that are attainable.
Mm-hmm. You need a short-term, medium, and long-term goal. That's what I tell everyone. You have to have purpose. Life is about purpose. If you're sitting in bed and you're recently blind, or you've been blind a while, if you've given up hope and you don't have purpose, you just have to find purpose. That's the key.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and goals can do that. Now, some of your cases that you've actually worked with. I know that you're new to the blind community and you're eager to, you know, help anybody you can. But some of your schizophrenic cases or some of your, you know, severely mentally ill cases who became depressed due to their condition, what kind of goals would you suggest short-term that are attainable within a few days or a few weeks?
Yeah, where's a starting point?
We usually consider a short-term goal to be 0 to 6 months, something more feasible. The starting point, of course, is talking, coming out, talking, exploring inside your own heads, your own minds, trying to figure out what direction it is you're looking, trying to be resilient, trying to overcome whatever's being a complication for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, to answer your question, short-term goals are usually something that is easily obtainable, but you have not yet done. So a good thing would be something that you procrastinate on.
Right. Or especially with the vision impaired, I would imagine, something that they used to be able to do mm-hmm. that they haven't done since they become vision impaired.
Right.
And finding out a new way to do that. I mean, there's a ton of different things that they could set goals for.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we take for granted. It's really hard for me because I'm also fairly new to the blind community. So just talking to Mike every week has actually opened my eyes to a bunch of things, like the flirting thing.
You wouldn't think about that.
You should have seen Robert flirt. Oh, my God. He was a Mac. He was a Mac.
Was he Ray Charles Mac? Like,
he was better.
Oh, wow.
He was better. He had his dog. His dog was a very useful flirt tool.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Dogs will do it, definitely.
Yep. So he did have a service dog?
And when the girl would leave that he was talking, he'd look at me and be like, "Did you see her smile, Lewis?" I did. I'm like, "No, you didn't."
You didn't.
But she did. She did smile. So
well,
you got me.
It's crazy how much they can pick up on things and they don't even realize it. Mike was explaining to us the other day that he can actually hear people walking and he can tell the difference between male, female, and if it's female, he can tell if she's wearing a dress, jeans, or other things as well.
Tennis shoes, flip-flops.
Tennis shoes, yeah.
Well, not to get too metaphysical, but I've always wondered, humans are electrical magnetic. So I'm wondering if the senses increase, is it possible to look into that, to if they can gain, I know that's a little metaphysical, but
right.
Yeah.
If they can gain a sense of the essence of someone else from their electrical magnetic field.
It's possible. I mean, scientifically speaking, I mean, look at sharks. The hammerhead shark can pick up on an electromagnetic pulse from miles away. And we're talking something the size of a guppy. So, I mean, obviously it is possible for a multicellular being to be able to sense and pick up on not only what's causing it, but, you know, be able to prey upon it, you know, on a predatory level.
I don't know exactly where to head.
So, yeah, I mean, if a shark can do it.
Talk people, about a goal-oriented animal.
Yeah. I mean, they have one goal and they accomplish it, you know. But yeah, if a shark can do something like that, or if an animal can do something like that, then surely human beings with a more complex brain can tap into it somehow or another. Maybe not to that level, but hone it in a little bit more.
I would assume it's more of a vibe and then just an energy feeling.
Yeah. Mike mentioned something about how when he walks into a room, he can kind of tell about the size of it just by the sounds in it, or how many people in the room, just by the amount of echo and things like that.
Have y'all ever seen the boy that does echolocation? He's
no.
blind.
Oh, yeah. He makes, like, crackling sounds and things like that, and he can literally pick up on, like, sonar-wise.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I need to see this.
And
yeah,
he learned it on his own. It's pretty fascinating. You can see him on YouTube or...
He's a small child, and he's been blind since birth, and he figured out a way to use, basically, sonar, and he can almost see.
Wow.
I've seen it on YouTube. You can look him up on YouTube. It's insane.
Definitely.
Echolocation.
But see, it's things like that. People do things differently automatically, especially when it comes to overcoming the symptoms of disabilities like blindness. One thing I do want to encourage more than anything is get out. You know, go to these support groups because you never know how your way of doing things can help somebody else because you might have thought of something or thought of a way to do something and it might be completely new to somebody else.
And I guarantee you, you'll have other people that are there that are going through the same thing that have thought of other ways that are going to be solutions for you. Just build your solutions, build your network, move forward.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not only would someone coming forward who hasn't been out since becoming blind, visually impaired, then would not only be inspiring people who have vision loss, but people who are sighted. I know that the little contact I've had with a few of our customers, it's been awe-inspiring just talking to them, sitting there, tending to their needs, listening to their stories. Oh, my God, their stories.
Yeah, none of them have boring stories.
No.
None of them have boring stories.
I was talking to some amazing ladies at Polo Park. I could have sat there all day. It was just awesome.
It's absolutely true. And even as people who have sight, just hearing the way that some of these folks do things, it kind of makes you more aware of your other senses than just sight. I think that that's something that everybody can gain something from.
Well, I think people that are not visually impaired, I don't know how to say this without sounding wrong, but I think that people that have all of their senses are usually lacking some of their senses sometimes.
Oh, yes.
So,
or in sense in general.
Right. Yeah. Or overstimulated or I don't know.
We take it for
that
granted.
We just need to look for the silver linings.
I couldn't agree more because of everything going on in the world today technologically. I mean, it's almost like sensory overload, and it's almost like people who do have all of their senses not only take them for granted, like you said, Sarah, but they tend to let themselves and allow themselves to be overloaded by all of this, and it almost desensitizes them to the senses that they actually have. So in a way, you can have an advantage by being able to take a step back and just, you know, listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like becoming numb or something like that.
Absolutely. So, Lewis, do you have a lot of patients in Midland yet, or have you seen any in Midland yet?
I have. We're not officially open in Midland, but I get calls all the time, and I try my best not to turn people away. I can't say I do not turn people away because of overhead and whatnot and other issues. But yes, we do have some patients in Midland now, and some in Odessa as well. It gets kind of tricky.
Do you think that there's a difference between the Odessa and the Midland patients?
Not really. I think all of my patients, and this is the thing I really emphasize to them, that there's nothing wrong with them. That's not why they're coming to see me. The first thing some of them do when they come see me, there's nothing wrong with me. And I look at them and I say, you're correct. You're absolutely correct. It's things that have happened to you. It's not you. So it's about changing and altering and, for no better use of another word, manipulating variables to get what you need to help the patient what they need. That's the principle. So I don't see a difference between any people. I'm probably the least judgmental person you'll ever meet. You probably know that for a fact.
So. I've actually known Lewis for a very long time. That's something that our listeners don't know is me and Lewis grew up together. So, I mean, we were kids together. So it's crazy to see him where he's at, and I'm sure vice versa to see where, because we were little hooligans, trust.
Yeah, we could have easily ended up in jail.
Yes, we could have.
Or who knows? We could have been anything. But I guess we are something, though, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing is, Lewis, I know for a fact, he ain't going to judge you, trust. If he does, just give me a call, and I'll give you something to hold against him.
Lots of good stories.
Uh-oh. No, but Lewis, is always, even when we were younger, it didn't surprise me to see you in the counseling field at all.
Very fitting.
It's very fitting. He's always been somebody, even as kids, that people went to for counsel and went to for advice. And he's always been more than happy to give it. Even before his degree, he was usually pretty good and pretty spot on about his advice. So he comes by this profession naturally. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Excellent.
And he'll say that I come by radio career naturally because I never shut up.
That's a good habit to have in radio. Yeah.
I definitely talk and talk and talk.
That's a good thing, though.
And yeah. It's a great thing. We definitely both have come by this naturally. And Sarah is kind of forced into this. She's very shy and trying to bring her out of her shell a little bit.
I am behind a mic. Public speaking, I'm fine. I don't know what the difference is in my head. But for some reason, if you put a mic in front of me and I have to talk, I just have issues. It's a head thing. I'm going to have to. Do you have any advice for me?
Yeah. So what do you think, listeners? Should we psychoanalyze Sarah on the radio sometime?
I think so.
Yeah. We'd have to sign a few waivers in front of that answer, but you know.
I think that's a great idea.
I'm really looking forward to this. I love questions. Have them roll in, guys. It keeps me on my game.
I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say. And as far as him giving you advice on public speaking, Lewis actually has about the same problem. He's very good speaking publicly, but I've never seen him on a mic before. He's being shy today. He'll open up as the show goes along and we do a few more, but I can tell he's definitely holding back right now.
That's kind of weird when you got something in your face.
It's a little odd. Yeah. Not as easy as it looks.
Right.
I guess the past few years has made me used to it, but...
Right.
It's really hard to kind of get a dialogue going out of nowhere and kind of fill it out, especially for first-timers. Even Mike, the first show that we did, and I keep referring back to him because he's a perfect example for a lot of these people. Yeah. Mike, the first show we did, was kind of apprehensive. He held back quite a bit. But two shows later, it's like night and day.
Oh,
and
our last show was hilarious.
Oh,
it
was.
Cracking up the whole time.
It was good.
Once y'all become like family to me, I will open up. I have no problem public speaking.
Oh, no, no, no. He doesn't. But yeah, I can tell Lewis, you're out of your element a little bit,
definitely,
and I can tell.
Yeah, as long as we promise I don't cry on the air, we'll be good.
You will not cry on the air. If I notice anything, I'll write it a little note, and we'll talk about that later.
All right, then.
Yeah, no, totally. We won't make anybody cry on the air.
Not Chris, no.
But Lewis is very good at what he does. And it shows. Like he said, he's been in private practice for just a little over a year, and he's already expanding to another location as well because you have to. I mean.
That's true. Yeah. Most counts, I was told. I have a lot of friends that are counselors, but I think they were hesitant to get me out into the field because they would try to tell me not to do it. Oh, it's too complicated. It takes 5-6 years to build your practice. My practice has blown up. So I have to expand.
I think a lot of that does come from your past because you were already well known as kids, mm-hmm. as somebody to go to for counsel. So, I mean, it just seems like the natural choice. I think that's one of the reasons, among many, that you've been able to become so successful so quickly.
Yeah,
I'm just blessed, I think.
Having lived here for as long as you have probably definitely helped.
Yes, ma'am.
If you have to expand again, have you thought that far ahead? Do you know where you might go?
Oh, man. I actually have a contact in Dallas that wants me to do something there, but I'm not going to leave this area. Okay, everyone that you don't know this, I'm a mama's boy.
Yes.
I love my mom very much. She lives with me,
mm-hmm.
and I take care of her. Well, she works as well, but I do take care of her and all of that. Man, I'm getting awful personal today.
Yes, you are.
All right. Wow.
Nice.
Well, I think it helps people open up. If you start to open up, they feel more comfortable opening up. So
definitely.
Yeah.
I've known for a long time that you're a mama's boy.
All right. Then.
Hey, she's awesome, though. So.
She is. She's a very cool lady.
Good
and
I do request, though, if Robert, if you're out there listening, you need to call in sometime. It would be great to catch up with you. He went to grad school with me in 2011 when I graduated. He was still there. So it's been a long time, but I definitely think fondly of you, Robert.
Well, if not, I mean, maybe one of our listeners knows of him.
Yeah. I would hope so.
Where did you go to grad school?
UTPB.
UTPB? Right. Oh, well then.
He's local.
Yeah, he's local. It's a good chance that one of them have either heard of him or are related to him.
Or know someone related to him.
Mm-hmm. So this is our Misconnections Hour on the Recording Library of West Texas. Robert, if you're out there. No. I think that we're going to go ahead and close out this show. We'll see you again next week, Lewis. And, hey, give us some information as to how we can get a hold of you and your locations.
The best way to get a hold of me is to call my office number and speak to my lovely office assistant. Her name is Sunny Johnson. The phone number is 432-770-2432. I also have a website that might be a little tricky. It's
They can navigate websites, yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
www.lewis, LEWIS, Busby, BUSBE, .com.
Oh, my gosh.
I have two locations.
You know, I totally spelled your name wrong in my phone. No, I mean, I got the first name right. But you got to understand, I have cousins named Busby, but they don't spell it like you do.
Oh, you put a Y, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did.
All right.
But no, I've known how to spell your first name for quite a while. At least I got that right.
All right. Y'all can call me Louie, too. I don't care. It's all right.
What's the name of your practice, officially?
Officially, it's called Lewis Busby & Associates LPC.
Okay. So Lewis Busby and Associates, LPC is the name of the practice. Should you be interested in going to seek some help, Lewis is very good at this. Like I said, he comes by it naturally. And we'll see you guys next week. This is Eyes on Psych. Thank you guys very much for listening. That's all the time we have for Eyes on Psych this week. Please join us again next week, where we'll talk about more issues, more solution techniques, and more services available to you in your community. Until then, hang in there. You're stronger than you realize.
This program was a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.